So we have seen steps in job analysis. Now let's understand what are the benefits of doing job analysis. First and foremost, it's a very important information for human resource planning. Without job analysis, we cannot do human resource planning, because while doing human resource planning, we should know what are the posts which are vacant and what type of jobs we want to fill up, what kind of people should be there for that, and hence job analysis is extremely important for that. Then it's a foundation for employee hiring. Unless job analysis has been done and it has been intimated by the respective departments that these are the types of jobs, posts which are vacant, we cannot do employee hiring. Then once we know the job analysis done, we can understand what are the requirements of a job, and based on the performance of that employee, how he is performing. If he is not performing up to the mark, and if there is a gap between what he is performing and what is the requirement of the job, we can understand the training need of that employee to be further trained. So for training and development also, the job analysis is very important. Then performance appraisal also, when we do the appraisal of a person at the end of the year, we should know what exactly is expected from the people, what are the standards, and these standards can be achieved only after job analysis, and then we can see actually how he has performed. So the gap between the two can be understood and his performance can be assessed. So for performance appraisal also job analysis is important. Based on the job analysis done, that what are the various working conditions in which he is working, how exactly he is working, what are the technical aspects which are required, whether he is semi-skilled, skilled or unskilled person, what are the responsibilities of that person, what is the accountability of that person, all those things is going to help us in doing the job evaluation. So job analysis will lead to job evaluation, and we can do job classification, and based on that we are going to do the salary and wage administration. Based on the job analysis done, we can find out what are the safety precautions a person is supposed to do, what are the safety hazards, what are the health hazards, and hence for safety and health of the employee also job analysis is very important. Now employee discipline. Now when the job analysis has been done, we know exactly what is expected out of him. If he is not following the instructions of the supervisor for the job to be done as per the job analysis, naturally it is the act of omission, and then it comes under disciplinary action to be taken as per the standard Standing Order Act, and hence job analysis will be important for even maintaining employee discipline. Work scheduling. Now when we know this is the way the job is to be done by job analysis, we can schedule the work accordingly and then tell the people to work. Then once we know that he is working in this particular area, say semi-skilled. Now if we want to improve upon his capabilities for future, we may send him for certain training programs, and with experience, if he can become a skilled employee, then naturally he can be promoted. So this is how the career planning also, when we want to do of any employee of the hospital, job analysis is very, very important. So these are the very various benefits the job analysis can give us. So let's understand what are the human resource requirements in a hospital. First and foremost, the line managers, the most important part of the hospital, that is doctors who are going to treat the patients. So doctor to beds ratio, as per the standards, it is 1:5 in hospitals with medical college, while in general hospitals it can be 1:10. So based on that, how the staffing can be achieved, that suppose we have got 300-bedded hospital and it's attached to a medical college where even the students are learning medicine and they are the future doctors who are going to be appointed in various hospitals. So in that case, as per this requirement, we saw that 1:5 is the requirement. So 300 divided by 5, that is 60 doctors will be required for such a hospital. While if it's a general hospital where no medical college is attached and there are no super specialist requirement, or it's a kind of general hospital which has been made by the entrepreneurs with a clear cut idea that it will be a general hospital, in that case for 300 bedded hospital, 30 doctors are enough. Now similarly, nurse to bed ratio, if we see in general, as per the Indian National Nursing Council, the 1:3 bed it is required. That means for 3 beds, 1 nurse is required. So for 300 beds, it will be 100 nurses requirement. So for every 100 beds and to cover 24 hours period, even over and above these number of sisters, we should also have 4 ward sisters and 30 staff nurses to overlook the functions of these nurses as well. So based on these ratios, we can find out what will be the human resource requirement for a hospital. Now for fractions of 100, the staff should increase in the proportion of 1 ward sister for 25 beds and even 1 staff nurse for 3 beds when it is more than 100 beds in a hospital. So it depends on the kind of wards also and criticality of the patients. If the ward is say a psychiatrist ward where there can be violence which may occur because of the mentally ill patients, in that case probably you may need little more number of sisters. Similarly, when there are critically ill patients where ICU is there or ICCU is there, you may need 1 bed, 1 nurse per bed. In fact, if it's a say recovery room post operative, again you will need more number of nurses for that, probably per recovery bed 1 or 2. For 1 or 2 beds you will need 1 nurse at least. So this is how it will also depend on kind of ward, whether it's a pediatric ward, labor ward, medical ward, surgical ward. Say in pediatric ward, suppose the mothers are also accompanying the allowed to be with the children, in that case you will need little less number of nurses, while in case of pediatric ward where mothers are not allowed to stay, naturally you will need more number of nurses. In case of neonatal intensive care unit, in case of pediatric intensive care unit also you will need more number of nurses, say 1 per bed at least. Now let's understand about the X-ray department and the manpower requirement. In multi-speciality hospital, where we have got not only diagnostic radiology, that is X-rays to be taken for chest, limbs, etc., but also therapeutic radiology and nuclear medicine, then accordingly the staff requirement will vary. Similarly, any X-ray department in a hospital, one has to be very careful while building up the department that it has to be approved by AERB regulations under BARC, that is Bhabha Atomic Research Center. Now Atomic Energy Regulation Board is AERB, and under their regulations you are supposed to build the radiology department. And even the radiologists who are working there, the technicians who are working there, they will have to keep the badge which is going to absorb all the radiations and then measure it so that it can be found out by the respective authorities whether the amount of radiation that has gone in the body of this technician or a radiologist, is it within the normal limits or not. So AERB regulations are very much required. Then employees needed calculated based on the task that is to be done in a radiology department. First and foremost, you need one reception to receive the patients, to take their note down the number of people taking the benefit of the radiology department in the register. Recording of the history is required to be done by the clerk. Preparing the necessary papers and entry into the register, taking film from stock, putting the same in the X-ray cassette where the X-ray is to be taken. Employees needed can be calculated based on these tasks. One is somebody has to explain to the patient about the procedure. So the technician should be there who is first going to explain the patient that this is how we are going to take the X-ray, where you are supposed to remove the clothes and go to the changing room, especially for the lady patients, and then wear the gown. Then in case of barium X-ray or the other diagnostic procedures like hysterosalpingography and all, they are supposed to explain the procedure, how it is going to be done, so that the anxiety of that patient is relieved. So then comes processing of the film. Once the X-ray is taken, it has to be processed by and developed. Sorting of this, then these films have to be sent to the radiologist for reporting. Then once the radiologist has reported, it has to be typed properly on the letterhead of the hospital, and then it has to be charted or dispatched to the patient. If it is from indoor patient, then it has to be sent to the respective ward sisters, while if it's an OPD patient, then the fixed timings are to be kept when the patient can come and collect the reports. Usually it is next day. So now let's understand the calculation of how the number of staff required in an X-ray department. One senior X-ray supervisor should be there for 7 X-ray technicians, and one receptionist cum typist. One X-ray aide should be there to fetch 25 patients from the wards. You also require a chief radiographer who is going to decide, along with HRM, to decide totally how many number of human resource are required for this hospital. It also depends on the specialty type of hospital, where specialist X-rays, CT, MRI, etc., if it is taken, then those experts who have got the sufficient knowledge of CT and MRI, they should be appointed, and based on the type of X-ray, whether it is X-ray and the other radiological investigations including MRI and all, whether the CT scan is plain CT or is it having a contrast CT, whether it MRI is also plain or contrast, whether it is MRA, MR angiography, etc. Based on various types of investigations, the expertise required may be more, the time required for contrast will be more, and the dye is to be injected in the person before before that one has to take the clear cut history of the patient, whether he or she is allergic to that dye. One has to see the report of the serum creatinine of this patient, and after investigation and thorough history, only a small amount of dye is given as a test dose, and then a full amount of dye can be given. So it will take more amount of time required for such patients, and hence more number of X-ray technicians and the required CT and MRI technicians will be needed. Now, physiotherapy. What are the areas where physiotherapy is required? It is required for post-operative patients, because the patient is lying down for quite some time, where his muscles have become weak, especially in orthopedic patients, where for a longer time the patient is on plaster, where he is not able to use his joints and muscles at all for that particular limb. So he needs physiotherapy. Gradual increase in the loading of the muscles should be given by the physiotherapist scientifically. So post-operative. Then cardiorespiratory care in orthopedic, surgical, neurological, cardiac conditions, after getting a heart attack or after bypass or even the angiography and angioplasty with stent, also a person needs cardiac rehabilitation, where you need a specialist in cardiac physiotherapy, whereby the monitoring of the ECG is done by the physiotherapist when the person is gradually put on the treadmill, as well as the static bicycle and the cross bicycle, etc. His BP is monitored, his ECG is monitored, and gradually his timing of the exercise is increased. That's how, based on the type of patients the hospital is having, the number of physiotherapists needed will be decided. Then comes athletic patients, sports, postnatal care, and obstetric patients. All these people require physiotherapists, and even occupational therapists may be needed in certain cases. So one chief physiotherapist for 7 physiotherapists should be there. There should be 2 assistants, a receptionist, 2 aides to fetch up to 30 patients from the ward. In a day, one physiotherapist can attend to 15 shortwave diathermies or 50 ultrasonic therapy cases or 25 infrared treatment or 15 ultraviolet treatment or 15 stimulation cases where nerve stimulation or muscle stimulation is done, or 30 cervical traction, or 20 hydrotherapy cases, or 10 lumbar traction cases in case of severe backache and all, or 15 microwave therapy cases, or 100 wax therapy, or 15 exercise therapy cases. So this is how one can find out the case load for a particular hospital based on the past records, and on an average this is how the number of therapies are to be given to these patients, and based on that one can calculate the number of physiotherapists, technicians, the aides, based on the number of cases that are referred from the wards, and based on the different types of treatments normally given in that hospital for the type of patients that are admitted and treated on OPD basis, this is how one can calculate the number of physiotherapists required. And of course, over these technicians also you will need somebody to supervise, as the number of technicians go on increasing, the number of superiors also will be needed to be added. Then comes medical laboratory. Well, it's a very important aspect of a hospital, because today is the world of patient awareness and the doctors under Consumer Protection Act, whereby the medical legal cases occurring are increasing day by day, and hence a doctor should be very careful with the minimum of chance that some abnormality may be there which is not easily detectable clinically. One should investigate the patient via the laboratory as well as the x-ray and other things. So the importance of medical laboratory is increasing day by day, and the number of investigations are also increasing day by day. In fact, in today's world the investigations have increased to such an extent with new researches and all, and secondly newer and newer diseases are coming up at times with epidemiological problems like swine flu and the newer cases of leptospirosis in every time during monsoon, or H1N1 and so many other cases which are cropping up day in and day out in various parts of the world. And then since the whole world has become a global village, at times the cases are migrating from one country to other and then spreading it there also. So everywhere we should be able to fulfill the needs of the testing of such diseases, say zoonotic diseases, say African flu and whatnot. And hence the importance of medical laboratories increasing, whereby the number of lab technicians, the experts in medical laboratory technology field, etc., is also increasing. In a larger hospital where say around 200 to 500 beds are there at least, you need two laboratories, one for indoor and one for outdoor and casualty patients. There should be a pathologist in charge, chief laboratory technician, one section head over seven lab technicians, secretarial and reception staff. One medical lab technician can do approximately 35 tests per day. In one day, one technician can do 45 hematological tests, 50 urine analysis tests, or 50 parasitological tests, or 20 blood tests, or 40 serology tests, or 30 biochemistry tests, or 20 histopathological tests. When the tests are automated, when there are automatic machines which are going to do multiple tests at a time, then the number of technicians required may be less, but then you should have a highly qualified and expert technicians for that, whereby not a microliter of the blood which is given to the machine should vary. So then pharmacy, which is also very important aspect for the recovery of the cost for the hospital, because you get around 30% as the profit from this department for the hospital. It's the most extensively used therapeutic facility, because all allopathic doctors are going to treat the patients through medicines, injections, etc., IV fluids, etc. So all the patients in the hospital will need pharmacy department's use. It's a high revenue generation, as I told you. Generally, it should be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for a smaller hospitals. For medium hospitals, the pharmacist should be on call to issue the emergency drugs after 7 p.m. during the night time also. But in a larger hospital, you should have 24/7 round the clock throughout the year. The pharmacy department should be open, and accordingly in all three shifts you can have pharmacists available, kept available. There should be a chief pharmacist who should make therapeutic committee in the hospital, where the chief pharmacist will be the secretary of this committee, the chairman will be the hospital administrator, and the HODs of all departments should be there. The nursing administrator should be one of the members. Even from pathology department, either the chief or the assistant pathologist should be there as the member of this committee, where they are going to decide about what all drugs are needed for this hospital. Drug formulary should be made, and then accordingly all those drugs have to be kept, so that in future the consultant should not say that why this particular brand medicine is kept and why that is not kept and all that. So once a drug formulary has been made, that drug formulary, the whole list of drugs will be circulated to the all hospital doctors, whereby they will come to know that these are the drugs available in this hospital. And this formulary should be revised every year. So the chief pharmacist acts as a PRO of hospital to meet medical representatives who are going to tell him about the newer drugs that have come in the market, the advantages of them over the previous drugs, by showing him the various statistical data, etc. And there are drug inspectors who are going to come and visit the hospital to see whether all the drugs are properly kept, properly labeled, whether narcotic drugs are being given only through a registered medical practitioner and one copy of the same has been kept as a record or not. Of course, all the medicines have to be given only after checking the prescription by a qualified medical practitioner with his registration number on it and a stamp, preferably on the prescription. So let's understand about the laundry and linen department of the hospital, where how the number of manpower should be organized. So laundry provides linen to the patients and clean neat uniforms even to the employees. In fact, laundry and linen, this is very very important department, because if we see from the point of view of patients and their relatives, they do not understand the technicalities of the doctors and nurses. They can only see visually how the hospital doctors and nurses look like, how the patients' bedding etc. is there, so which is a properly thoroughly washed linen without any stains, not even a stain of a drop of urine or blood, with properly ironed and clean linen. And similarly, all the doctors and nurses and the paramedical staff should be having a proper uniform, say the apron etc., which should be absolutely clean, white, and it should be spotless and properly ironed. These are the things which is visible, and hence probably based on that only the person is getting the idea how overall the treatment may be given in the hospital. So this is a very important department. They should collect the infected and soiled linen separately from wards, labor room, operation theater, nursery, intensive care unit, casualty. They have to be processed thoroughly, where they are sorting it out, sluicing, disinfecting, washing, extracting, mending if required, ironing, and properly folding and then distributing it to the required departments. Right, well in time, and they should keep this, the number of uniform clothes and linen and all, at least 5 to 6 times that is required, based on one in transit, one gone for the washing, one for in case something gets soiled and something in reserve. So this is how it is done, and hence the number of employees required to look after all that also is quite high. The number of personnel depends on the frequency of changing the linen in the wards, whether it is daily change once or twice, the quality of linen and the laundry equipments also. If you have got a very good dryer, then probably you don't need so many number of clothes, because it is, once you take it out of that dryer, already it is dried, you can just iron it and fold it. So one laundry operator per 25 to 30 beds is required, one laundry orderly for assistance per 50 to 60 beds should be there. There should be 30% for leave reserve, because usually the employees in the laundry department, they are poorly educated, usually they are illiterate, and many of them are migrant population who are coming from their villages. They need to go to their village back at least twice a year, many times for a month or two, and for minor reasons, for festivals, for various things, they do take leave often, and hence you should keep at least 30% for the leave reserve. One washer can take care of 150 to 200 kilograms of linen per day. One shift supervisor should be there to look after all that. One laundry mechanic and one laundry clerk per shift should be always present in the hospital. Each operation in operation theater, if we see, it generates 7 to 8 kilograms of soiled linen. Each delivery in labor room will also generate 7 to 8 kilograms of soiled linen, and each ward patient will generate 5 to 6 kilograms of bed linen. So based on that, the number of employees in the linen department can be calculated and appointed. Now let's understand about the service of food service for the hospital. Now the food service can vary based on the hospital's policies. Either they are serving food to only the patients, or they may be serving food to patients as well as relatives, or they may be serving food to the staff of the hospital as well. So based on that, the number of foods to be served will vary, and based on that, the number of people required to be appointed in a hospital will also vary. So the responsibility will be for visiting patients, for consulting their charts. The dietetic department will also visit the patient to know exactly what kind of food is to be prepared for that particular patient. Some will require specialized diet, some will regular diet. Specialized diet can be for a cardiac patient, where low salt, low oil food should be there. For a kidney patient, where low salt should be there, low potassium should be there. For diabetic patient, sugar-free diet should be given. So they have to visit the patient, and as per the therapeutic diet ordered by the doctor, they have to prepare the diet accordingly. So they have to consult their charts, they have to plan their menu accordingly, they should prepare the food, serve the food, budgeting should be done for that. At the same time, since it's a huge cost nowadays, the food cost is going up day by day, the cost of vegetables, fruits, cereals, pulses, everything is going up. So and huge quantity will be required in a hospital, in a multi-speciality hospital where you have got say 300 to 500 beds, and the footfall is also very high, because the relatives also do come to visit the patients. Especially in case of India, there's the concept of all relatives are likely to visit the patient once the patient is admitted in a hospital. So cost control should be done, one should keep proper record keeping, and performance appraisal of its personnel should be done periodically. At the same time, one should be very careful about safety, because some of the equipments used in food services will be in the form of, say, choppers, knives, then electrical machines, whereby one may have the hazards of tripping, hazards of electrocution, hazards of injury, mechanical injury, etc. So one should be very careful about these things, and especially if some food is spilt, it is very sticky and also tripping hazard and history of fall leading to fractures, etc. is also possible. Secondly, food is a menace where a lot of pests can come, like cockroach, rat, etc. So while storing, one has to be very careful. Periodically, one should be doing proper housekeeping, pest control, etc. also, and thorough sanitation has to be kept, otherwise it can lead to infection, and foodborne infection in a hospital can lead to an epidemic of loose motion and vomitings or gastroenteritis to the patients, and it will really adversely affect the hospital image to a large extent, and hence food services is very important aspect for a hospital. Qualified food service manager should be there, who should be having diploma or degree in hotel and catering management. A dietitian also should be appointed, who should be having degree in dietetics after BSc Home Science or MSc Nutrition Science. One dietary staff per 15 to 20 patients should be appointed. And if there are more number of specialized diet required, then more number of dietary staff may be required. If the number of relatives coming are more, visitors are more, then also accordingly more number of dietary staff may be required. If you are serving the food to all the staff, then also naturally accordingly one has to increase the number of dietary staff. One dietitian per 200 beds, food store keeper, cook helpers, bearer and dishwasher, where you need one per 20 patients per staff member. 30% leave reserve also should be kept in this department. Now sanitation and housekeeping. Again, a very very important department for a hospital. Unless good sanitation and housekeeping is maintained for a hospital, it will create havoc for the hospital, because ultimately patients are looking and their relatives are looking at the housekeeping of the hospital. Even the statutory authorities may not be expert in the technicalities of the medical and paramedical field at times, say the municipal hospitals inspectors and all, but definitely they are going into deep when they look into the sanitation and housekeeping of the hospital. So clean, aesthetic and hygienic environment plays a great role in attracting the customers, that is the patients, and their retention and their delight. If any patient or the relative sees the cobwebs in the hospital, the stains in the linen or any of the walls or anywhere, say blood stain, urine stain or stool stain, if they see any of the dirt around, definitely it is going to be a great deterrent for them to enter the hospital itself, keep aside taking the treatment from the hospital. So sanitation and housekeeping is extremely important, and if it is not being maintained, it will not only lead to the mal odor and the bad sight for the visitors and patients, leading them to avert the services of the hospital, but also it will lead to more infection to the employees and the patients and the relatives who are entering the hospital as well. And hence one has to be very very careful for keeping this sanitation, aseptic precautions to be taken for everything in detail and thoroughly. So the functions of sanitation and housekeeping department will be, they have to keep proper maintenance of desk and control the rooms. Say operations of communication system should be clear cut, because this housekeeping department and the other department people, say doctors, nursing, everybody has to work in coherence, because finally there are specific timings for specific services for the patients in a hospital. Housekeeping, say sweeping and mopping and all, should be done early in the morning. If that's not finished and the time for the round of the doctor has started, then definitely doctor is going to shout at the housekeeping department people, and naturally it will be a bad sight, and it will lead to a lot of problems for the patients as well. So proper coherence should be there, and hence proper communication system should be maintained. Clean rooms, clean corridors, clean wards, clean floors, fixtures, curtains, windows and toilets. Each and every aspect of hospital has to be thoroughly washed, mopped, the cobwebs to be removed, dust to be removed, and frequently it has to be done, and proper antiseptic lotions to be applied. At the same time, the odor should be good enough. Whoever is entering the hospital should not get disgusted if they enter the hospital, and people should feel pleasant about entering the hospital. And that's the responsibility of sanitation and housekeeping department. Odor control should be there. Linen, issue of proper uniform to all the staff, which is not having any kinds of stains. Hospital waste disposal should be as per the biomedical waste rules. Sanitation and environmental hygiene has to be maintained. Control of pests, flies, rodents and stray animals has to be done so that no damage occurs to any of the food item, no damage occurs to any of the linen and the other items of the hospital. And as you can understand, if there are rodents and stray animals loitering in the hospital, what will happen with their bites? Again, the patient can sue the hospital medico-legally that the dog bite has occurred in the hospital premises, and naturally he will need 5 injections for anti-rabies vaccine and 1 for injection tetanus toxoid, etc. And the amount of pain that he gets, the amount of frustration that he gets will be huge.